Hey there, you are about to see an amazing video with a guest you are going to love. First, subscribe by hitting the button below, share it with all your friends, and leave us a comment. Tell us whether you like this or not, because we're spending thousands of hours creating these. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Welcome,
everybody, back to Spartan Up Podcast in Pittsfield, glorious Vermont. We have Johnny Waite, myself, Sephra Lavulala, whatever my name is this time, and Colonel Nye, and Joe DeSena, and of course Marion, with the ever-watching omnipotent camera.
The omnipotent.
And so today, we're talking about something very important, nutrition. We all need it. We all love it. It's the best. And Chris Kresser knows a lot about it. So let's find out more.
That's exciting.
It is exciting.
Actually, I can tell you.
Okay, maybe they can help me.
I can tell you unequivocally, the interview is way better than the intro. So I think we should watch
it. Perfect.
All right, let's do it.
Absolutely.
You're super knowledgeable, I hear, on health, wellness, diet. And you almost died?
Yeah, I got really sick in my early 20s. I was traveling in Indonesia doing some surfing over there and got the classic tropical illness that you hear about, coming out of both hands, delirious, feverish, don't really remember much for 3 or 4 days that happened in there. And then that turned into like a decade long, really super debilitating chronic illness that took me to the curb.
Do you know what it was?
Well, there were parasites, amoebic dysentery, and then the treatment for all that was almost worse than the disease itself. So it just really trashed me completely. And
for how many years was that?
Over 10 years it took me to get back to health.
So it was like you went to jail for 10 years.
Yeah, pretty much. Right? And there were some pretty dark times, you know, in that 10-year period where I didn't know if I was going to make it.
Where were you living at the time?
I was here in the Bay Area for part of that time. I moved down to Big Sur for a little while just to kind of get off the grid and see if I could rest and
fix it,
make a comeback.
What were the doctors saying?
They didn't really know. And, you know, with a lot of my patients that I treat, it's the same story. A lot of, you know, Western medicine's pretty good if you break your leg or your arm or something like that, or if you're pretty advanced in the disease process, but they don't really know much about these kind of mysterious chronic illnesses. So
I got leptospirosis once.
Yeah, that's no fun.
No, and I was in New York, and what was cool about it, and there wasn't a lot of cool things about it, was that the best doctors in New York showed up because they don't get a chance to work on stuff like that.
In a special case.
Yeah. And at one point, they told me on a Friday, this is crazy, they said, and I just met my girlfriend, who now is my wife. We knew each other a few weeks. And they said, look, it looks like it might be AIDS, but we're not sure.
Yeah, that's not a nice thing to throw out there.
We'll know on Monday.
Yeah.
And thankfully that wasn't the case.
Yeah, that really has a way of bringing your whole life into focus, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened to me. It's going through that experience. Everything that wasn't important fell away over time. And I just started to focus on what was most essential in my life. And that, I think more than anything else, is the gift that I got from that experience. And it's really helped me to accomplish everything that I've accomplished, because at this point, I'm really clear on what I'm here to do. And that's the first thing I think about when I wake up in the morning, and that's what keeps me focused.
You know, it's really interesting, because we talk about success and perseverance and all that. And I think we've done 117 podcasts now in 3 months or something.
Wow.
I don't know, right? We've gone crazy.
Busy guy.
And we never really get into that ability to focus. I don't think we've talked much about that ability to focus and kind of push away the stuff that's not important. But when I think about it, that's one of the key elements to success.
Yeah.
It's also on a micro level, on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
Right? What's important, what isn't, focus on what's important. And you're right, because I think back to the adventure racing days where I'd be out there in the jungle or whatever, and that's what's nice about it. You just want water, food, and shelter.
Right. You don't have time to think about anything else.
Because all that other stuff is really, how important is it?
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, my mission is to help as many people recover their health and live their dreams as possible. And so it's very simple. If I have a choice or decision to make, if it helps me to to accomplish that purpose, then it's in, and if it doesn't, then it's out.
Right.
And that can be from the smallest decision that I make on a day-to-day basis. Do I answer this email, or do I just delete it? Right. Do I return this phone call, or do I go back to writing this thing that I know is going to
help
me achieve that goal?
A lot of people don't have the benefit of even knowing what their purpose is or what their goal is, right?
Yeah.
And so you'll never get there because you don't even know where you're going.
Yeah, you can't hit a target if you don't know what you're shooting at.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And so for me, I think that's the biggest step that people can take in terms of increasing their productivity is just knowing what they're knowing what they're doing in the first place. Because if you don't have a clear goal or a clear purpose, you can't prioritize. And then everything has kind of an equal value. And in this world where there's so many distractions, I mean, we just live in this crazy time where information is coming at us like it never was before. And if you don't have that filter, how do you decide? How do you even know what's important and what you want to focus on?
So the biggest challenge for me in that area, because I'm very focused, I've always been, and I can quickly ascertain what's priority, what isn't. And we have a wonderful family, obviously married. And my wife has different parts, like people that are your friends have different priorities than you have. And so things that you may view a waste of time, they don't view as a waste of time. So how do you deal with that? Because that I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, that's like the $64 million question. Like, how do you align?
Yeah, that's the negotiation, you know? I mean, it's true. I'm married as well. I have a 3.5-year-old daughter. And my priorities have certainly shifted. It's not like it's static in time and it doesn't change. So I don't want to create the impression that I'm like this automaton and that's my, because to be honest, really my focus now more than anything else is to be a good dad.
Right.
And I would probably put that above
everything.
Yeah, I agree. But luckily that doesn't really conflict necessarily with my other purpose, because I know that in order to help other people recover their health, I have to be healthy myself.
Sure.
And part of being healthy is spending time with my daughter and my wife and taking care of my body, exercising, eating well. So I think there's room for that negotiation in there, as long as I understand that, and I'm sure this is true for you, but like accomplishing your goal, you have to be a whole person too. You can't just be like
100%. Yeah, my example in that case would be, luckily I never liked the taste of alcohol.
Yeah.
Just never liked it. Wine, beer, doesn't matter. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
And additionally, I feel like there's very little time on the planet. It's our most, it's the only asset we really have is time. And I don't want to waste any sitting around having a glass of wine. Or just even one glass, right? Or just having a really fancy dinner or something. It's just like a waste of time.
Yeah.
But many people would argue,
wife perhaps included,
would argue that those are social things that one should do, and you should have friends and all that. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I got 4 million friends, right? They're on Facebook.
Well, I don't know if I'm the right person to help you there, because I think you and I are probably more similar than different in that regard. I mean, I do have friends, but I find that with my daughter and my wife and my work and my
that's
health.
That's enough.
Yeah, there's not much room for anything else. Yeah. And maybe in 10 or 20 years it'll be different. But for now, I feel like I'm really on a mission, and I'm okay with that. You know, there are choices that we have to make, and I don't believe that we can do it all. I think that we have to focus on what's absolutely essential and be willing to let things go.
And everything else is noise. Let's take a break and come back.
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
Hey, I hope you love what you're watching. We have put an enormous amount of time into this. We want to get people motivated, ripped off the couch, and we need your help. Please subscribe to the video. Go tell some friends to do the same. Rip them off the couch. Get them motivated. Let's get outside. We are back in the belly of San Francisco with Chris. And there's a lot of construction going on here. They're rebuilding the lobby, I think, of this hotel.
Yeah.
So it's a little noisy for those of you not watching. But let's talk about diet.
Yeah.
What's
Well, the thing for me is, like you mentioned, we're only here for a short time. You know, we want to maximize our time here, and that means feeling good, being as productive as possible, preventing illness and disease, and extending our lifespan, you know, as far as we can. And diet, of course, is probably one of the most important things we can think about when we have those goals, because, you know, we eat at least, you know, most people 3 times a day, maybe more. Yep. And what we put into our body is what determines our health. So
food is your medicine. Medicine is your
yeah,
food.
But even, you know, as a nation, Americans are overfed but undernourished. And that's the key thing to understand. I mean, there's no shortage of calories available. We can walk down to 7-Eleven here and get a super big gulp and candy bars and all that, and we'll get plenty to eat. We're not going to starve, right. but we are starving in, sure. in the important way. You know, you basically, when it comes to what fuels our body, we've got macronutrients like protein, fat, and carbohydrate, but then we've got micronutrients, you know, all the vitamins, minerals, and compounds that fuel our cellular processes. So what we need to do is make sure everything we put into our mouth has the maximum amount of those nutrients and the minimal amount of junk that's going to get in the way of things. And I don't think that concept's really well understood, because you always hear, we should do low fat, we should do low carb, you know, high protein, this or that. And that stuff is relevant, but what's more important in many cases is just making sure that the food you eat is super nutrient dense, because that's what's going to help you
and fill you up.
Yeah, it's going to fill you up. It's going to make all of your physical processes work right, and it's going to prevent you from having disease, because we need those nutrients, and we can function without them. That's the interesting thing, is like, you're not going to die if you're deficient in these vitamins. You're just going to feel like crap all the time, and you're going to go to the doctor and tell them that, and they're going to have no idea what's wrong.
Yeah, so I was at a very well-to-do company recently, and they have unlimited funds to feed the employees, right. Very healthy food.
Right.
I've been in hospitals that are the top heart hospitals, as an example, in the country, and I look at the food and I think, I wouldn't eat that.
Yeah.
I don't even.
Even if you're dying.
Yeah, I don't understand how my dad. Hang on, there's a little construction conversation going on here. We'll wait a second before we go back to. Even my dad, who had like multiple bypass surgeries, right? When he would come out of those surgeries, they would bring him a buttered croissant, and I'm thinking, I don't understand.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
No, right? This doesn't make any sense.
Very little recognition.
That was a cabinet that fell on Chris. So.
I'm still here. Yeah, it's so crucial, and you know, in the world that I'm in, with which is helping people recover from chronic illness, it's of course the first thing that we talk about, but. They've often, in many cases, they've seen, you know, 10 different doctors, had a whole battery of tests, and nobody's even suggested that it could be something as simple as removing gluten from their diet. You know,
I didn't know. So my mother was a health freak. My mother was way ahead of her time in the 70s with nutrition and exercise and yoga and meditation. And I always was sick. My stomach always bothered me for 42 years.
Yeah.
And I'm in a car and with a mother who knew everything about this stuff, right? And monks in our living room. We like macrobiotic diet. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Vegan. And I'm driving with this woman who's a chef, and she tells me she's gluten-free. And I said, what's gluten? You know, I get into it. Right. And she goes, just get off it for 10 days. It turns out that was my problem all these years. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so
42 years? I didn't know.
Something so simple, right?
Right? Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And now gluten's on the radar a little bit more, which is good, even in the conventional medical world. But this nutrient density concept, that's something that it's pretty easy. I mean, basically, you just eat food that's real food. You avoid stuff that is in a bag or a box as much as possible.
Right.
You stay away from flour, sugar, and industrial seed oils, you know, the crappy vegetable oils that everything.
So give me the crap. What are the give me the crappy vegetable oils?
So, you know, sunflower, safflower, canola, soybean oil, corn oil. They're the oils you see in all packaged and processed foods, because they're cheap. You know, they're really super cheap. And the problem is they're not stable when they're cooked, and all processed foods are basically cooked. So they become rancid, and then they can cause inflammation and oxidative damage. So, you know, things like olive oil, coconut oil, ghee, even butter.
I love coconut oil.
These are the healthier fats to eat.
I've been swishing with coconut oil.
Have you done that? I mean, it's amazing. You can eat it. You can put it on your skin. It helps with wound healing. It's antibacterial.
How the heck do they get coconut? They just grind up coconuts?
And it's a whole processing. They separate the meat, you know, the flesh of the coconut. They can make coconut butter from the flesh, which you've probably seen. And then the milk has the flesh and the oil in it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just... I think if most people just followed this, you know, three-word diet, eat real food, we'd be a lot better
healthier.
Off than we are as people.
Well, we'd be better off in many ways, not just healthier, but it would change.
Healthier environmentally.
We had an emergency coughing situation with our camera person, so hang tight. But she's clearly eating the wrong foods. We live in Vermont.
Nice.
And we have an organic farm. And here's the issue. We know, we being you and I and many others, right, know what we should eat and how this is all supposed to work.
Yeah.
The problem is, and I experience it firsthand every day, to get a farm to work is hard.
Yeah.
Really hard work, right? And so at the end of the day, it goes back to what we talk about here in Spartan Up all the time, instant gratification.
Yeah.
It's much easier to go grab a box or a can or a jar of food than to put the time in and the money. I mean, we can't make any money with this farm. We keep trying to make it work, and it's extremely expensive until the public buys in and says, you know what, I'll pay a premium. Now, they're doing a little bit with Whole Foods existing, but it's hard.
Yeah, I think that's changing already, and it will change more, but it's true. I think back in the turn of the 19th century, like a very high percentage of our population was still engaged in farming as a primary occupation, and now I think it's less than 2%. Of the entire U.S. population is involved, and a lot of it is machine operated, at least for the bigger
big farms,
commercial kind of farms. Yeah, so we definitely need people to see the value of that. It's changing here a lot in the Bay Area. I mean, we've got a farmer's market every day of the week.
That's
now
awesome.
In Berkeley, like literally, you can go to a farmer's market every day of the week. But the biggest change that needs to happen is to make that stuff more affordable, because right now it's just for rich people or upper middle class people.
Sure.
And there are companies that are doing good things in that world. There's a new startup called Thrive Market that is selling, paleo, organic, whole food type of products for 30-50% off retail, and it's a membership model. So every time someone signs up for a membership, they donate a membership to a low-income family.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is really cool. And until we can make those foods more accessible and affordable for a greater number of people, then the change is going to be limited.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know how expensive it is as an organic farmer.
Yeah, I would trade anybody out there the ability to come work on the farm in exchange for good, healthy food.
Right.
But you'd be surprised. I think it sounds sexier than it actually is when they when they get there.
The reality
is they go back to box food.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's a challenge, but I think in a way it's kind of inevitable because our healthcare system is just completely buckling and breaking down.
Yeah.
People are clear that they're not getting the results they want just from taking prescription medications. Their doctors aren't able to help them the way they want. So
hey, listen, I had a 696-pound guy that was doing a Spartan race. And it took everybody else, let's say, an hour to do it. It took him 7 hours, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he got inspired enough to change his life, and he called us. And we put him up in Vermont. We put him on raw fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Here's a guy that was eating 8 Egg McMuffins every day for breakfast and 2 2-liter Sprites every day for breakfast, okay?
Yeah.
Breakfast of champions.
You can say that.
And we got him on raw fruits and vegetables only, nothing cooked, and 10-mile hike every day, carrying a 25-pound sandbag, and he left us at 262 pounds.
That's amazing.
And I can't tell you how many fights I had with him along the way where he said, this is not nutritious, I need to get my liver levels checked, I'm going to die, and I said, did you get your liver levels checked when you were eating egg muffins and 2 2-liter Sprites?
Yeah, you're a lot closer to death.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But that's, think about that, right? Yeah. That's the thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I think we're going to get there one way or the other, whether it's we're forced to get there just because of our crumbling healthcare system or whether people choose to get there. And I think realistically, it'd probably be a combination of both. But, I mean, in my work, day to day with patients, I've seen just some miraculous transformations of people who literally, like this, you know, but people who literally can't even get out of bed because they're so sick, and just changing their diet and lifestyle, maybe with a few supplements and things like that, were able to accomplish what they had not been able to accomplish in years with taking prescription medications and using the conventional medical system.
Give us three tips.
Got it.
That'll change people's lives. Yeah. What do you got?
Okay. So number one would be get clear on your purpose, which we talked about.
Yeah.
And number two would be eat real food. Don't eat stuff that comes in a bag or a box. And number three, probably the most important but the hardest, is to sleep. Sleep for 7 to 8 hours a night. And, you know, most people have a really hard time doing that, but it's probably the single most important thing we can do to improve our health.
You know why most people have a tough time doing that?
How come?
Because they're eating the box food, number one. But number two, they're not exercising.
Yeah.
And so when anybody says they have a sleep problem, I say throw on a weighted vest and run up and down the stairs for 3 hours.
You'll pass like a baby.
All right. So, yeah. Imagine, you know, 10 years of darkness, sickness, unknowing. Reminds me of Heart of Darkness, Joseph Conrad. You know, out of darkness must come light. How did he find light? Nutrition. And what do I think? You know, most Western medicine, as he says, if you break a leg, great, they're good at helping that. If you have like deep systemic problems, no one's looking for the root cause. No one's remediating it with herbs or nutrition or any medicine. All these really vitally important things to, you know, like Lyme disease and things. There's a lot of things people just give you pills for, and that's masking everything, not curing anything. And really, nutrition's your best medicine.
Why do you think that is? I'm sure there's tons and tons of writings on this.
Modern day doctors, as far as I understand it, I obviously am not a doctor. but apparently they have like one course in nutrition during their whatever it's called, doctorate thing. So
you've
lost the word.
The ophthalmologist.
I thought you were just a made up a word there, you neurologist. You
during their
schooling,
doctoral.
Yeah, keep it simple.
Schooling.
But you think it's because they don't study nutrition?
Yeah, I think there's a massive gap in our modern day culture's understanding of what food is, what good food is, and, you know, people look at a supermarket and they think, oh, there's abundance. I mean, you walk into a gas station, you can, no offense, people have gas stations, blessings, but you cannot find something healthy for you. And if you do find vegetables, things, they're often GMO, overprocessed, grown with pesticides, grown with chemicals, from far away, waxed. I mean, it's like, it is extremely difficult, unless you are, thank you, on this amazing barn with this amazing farm where the farmers down below, you can smell the onions, everything's getting seeded and ready to be planted in the field. I mean, unless you're that close, that's your healthiest nutrition. And, you know, there is urban agriculture. There's ways to do it anywhere you are. There's, you know, always a way. MacGyvering agrarianism. That's really what I'm all about.
Well done. That is definitely
agrarianism.
But are we getting better? I mean, is there no hope? You don't think we're getting better? I mean, you've talked before about,
I'm positive,
you know, back when the doctors used to smoke, or in the the hospitals and the cafeteria,
well,
they serve lousy food. It seems to me all of that has...
In my opinion, it only gets better when the consumer demands better. And so that is starting to come around, right?
When the consumer knows better.
Well, consumers got to learn, but consumers are demanding it, right? I see non-GMO stores. Do people know what a GMO is? Let's get it. Genetically modified organism. Not everybody listening would know, so we got to... You could check it out at Sephora's vernacular. So I think if the consumer demands it, look, the consumer is obviously starting to demand some things differently. McDonald's is having a tough time.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right? And so as long as we demand it, there will be suppliers that appear to supply it.
I think you got to go back to the root, though, when you said about people need to know first. They're not going to demand what they don't know. And that's where a podcast like he has is so valuable, where it's actually training people and educating people. You know, through ours, we don't focus too much on nutrition, but with that, with Boku, things like that, we're steering people to the sources. And I think it is really key that we personally, as well as the people we can influence, continue to promote the healthier mindset. And that there are resources out there like Chris that will educate them.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We have a responsibility.
Yeah, for sure.
To help people. I mean,
responsibility. We're able to respond, which is why I love that word.
You don't even know it because you were too young, but there used to be doctors on TV in lab coats that were pushing cigarettes.
Sure. Yeah.
And we were, well,
tobacco secret.
That was kind of my question. It seems to me, that culturally we're moving in the right direction. I mean, I didn't grow up. There wasn't Whole Foods and the rest of those. You know, how long have they been around?
Yeah, but there was a lot more people backyard gardening and saving their seeds. And McDonald's didn't start out all that.
I don't think anyone's wrong here. I think that two things are happening at once. On the one hand, our grandparents ate organic food because there's no such thing as organic food. It just was organic, right? So we've gone, it's like the pendulum. We've gone way, 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 one way.
Or circle.
Now, a portion is swinging the other way. I would suggest that the average person is not suddenly eating at Whole Foods and things like that. But there are enough people that it's at least becoming, there's a critical mass, right? So I don't disagree with you. And yet I would say that kids in schools are still eating as badly as they ever have, and certainly worse than they did 40 years ago. But maybe they're starting to swing the other way. We're 10 years from now, we can count it being the other way if we keep pushing.
I'll give you one. Okay. I was recently with the head of a school system for the country that helps feed over 500,000 kids a day. He wanted to make some changes. Those changes are very, very hard to make, not only because the kids don't want to accept in the beginning healthy food, but even when they start to and stop drinking or eating some of the things that the big, I'm being very delicate here on how I say this, but that some of the big organizations want to be selling, the White House gets a call. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a big deal, right? So,
poison our children.
It's got to come from the people. The people have to demand it. The people have to. We are a voting mechanism. We get to vote what we want or don't want.
Well, I'm long past having kids in school, so I don't pay that much attention to it anymore. But you don't have to look hard to look in the news and see all the stories, the fights that are going on in schools over the lunch programs.
Yeah.
And, you see these pitiful pictures of just two little pieces of vegetable or whatever just laying there, sadly. You know, but the kids have to eat that.
Yeah.
You don't want them to eat healthy? I thought I was on your side.
I have my master's degree in agricultural education, so this is a topic that's obviously very near and dear to my heart, right? And there's
very humble.
Listen, everyone. No, here's the thing. No, I'm humble, and also if this can reach a lot of people, this is an important message. Okay, it's saying. The most important thing you guys all can do is save seeds, okay? Save Landrace, Heritage, local seeds.
Is it for the invasion?
We can have a Spartan Seed Company and say we have Victory Gardens. Like, you know, at the finish line when things sprout up, you'll know when you're feeding your kids good lettuce. And the thing is, lettuce is not hard to grow in any environment. We did it up in Alexandria Bay. You have to cut it and you have to make a salad bar and you have to teach the chefs at the school how to use it. There's a whole reintegration process, but it is possible. And it, I mean, those are when your kids are growing, and that's what their bones are. I mean,
so if we were to tie this back, because I completely agree with your long term vision.
Sorry,
I completely agree with your long term vision. It would be great if we can get there. To say that tomorrow everyone has to start saving seeds isn't going to happen. We need to say tomorrow the school needs to put healthy foods out and not unhealthy foods. Because even today, if you were to say what we're going to do is we're going to make sure 50% of the food is healthy. That 50% will get thrown out every night because kids will go straight for the cheeseburgers and the fries because of the condition.
Oh, and this gentleman I told you about wanted to introduce something other than a white bread or white bun. They switched it. The kids wouldn't eat it. So what he had to do was put the white bun on top, the healthy half on the bottom.
What I've seen work is when you get the kids involved in growing the wheat, harvesting the wheat, grinding the flour, schoolyard, Alice Waters, make it, they eat it, they love it.
We're talking about public schools with teenagers. They have other things to do than growing food.
I
think we completely agree with you long term, but it's like saying, hey, you on the coach, come and do a Spartan Beast. You don't do that. You say, hey, you're on the coach. Come and work out a little bit so we can get you to Spartan Sprint and work the way up. So we're not going to get people planting seeds tomorrow, but we do need to start down that path. It'd be great if 20 years from now everyone's planting seeds, but they're not going to start planting seeds if we can't get them off the burgers.
That said, the seed we want to plant now is the seed of the SpartanUpPodcast.com.
Find show notes, video, and audio from this great episode. Please visit SpartanUpPodcast.com/071.
Thank you for listening to another epic story of success. Follow us on Twitter at SpartanUpPod. The Spartan Up Podcast is brought to you by Spartan.
To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.